Som jag sa i vår, jag sjöng Harkens arbete så vi har förväntat sig Kristian very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Abel Breeze Hawkins. I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. I have the privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I'd now like to present to you for our first speaker, one of the sons of Yisrael Abel, Odiah Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. Now, today my topic is Me on Trial. Now, I'm going to be starting off in the second book of Yisrael. He who rules is Yahweh rules. On page 150. And it says, it is you who are on trial. You want to keep on pointing the finger at somebody else and say, he made me do that, or she made me do that. Remember, it is you who are on trial with Yahweh. You're the one who's taking the test. You're standing the test. You're going to fall if you do not want what Yahweh says. We need to remember this, brethren. We're learning how to go through the test and trials. We're taking the test. We're going through the test and trials. Now, don't think you're the only one going through the test and trials. Don't think you're the only one going through the test and trials because others have already went through them. Let's go to Hebrews 11 on page 951. And it says, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, in chains and imprisonment. They were tested, they were stoned, they were sawed into, they were tested, they were slain with the sword, they wandered in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, cruel treated, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, mountains, and dens and caves of the earth. See that through much tribulation you will enter into the kingdom. But don't fear. Let's turn to Exodus 20, verse 20. And it says, Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Yahweh is with us to test and prove us, so that the reverence of Yahweh will be on you so that you will not commit sin. So let's stand strong and run this race. Don't trip and fall. And remember, judgment begins at the house of Yahweh. In conclusion, please turn to Jacob 1. it says, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, trials. Know that the testing of your faith develops endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, that you may become perfect and complete, lacking nothing." It's been an honor and pleasure to speak with you today. And with that, if you all please stand.
And now, it's a privilege and honor to present to you son of Yishalabel, Deacon Tawakia Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, Satan has a plan. Yahweh has a plan as well. But Satan's plan is to stop the work of Yahweh. Yahweh's plan is to finish out this work, to bring peace to all of mankind. Now, there have been many attempts in the past to stop the work of Yahweh by the Catholic Church. But the work of Yahweh will never stop. Never stop, no matter what comes its way. So we're going to look at some of the things that have been done or tried in the past to stop the work of Yahweh. I'm going to start out in the April-May 2008 prophetic word. In there we see that there are 10 persecutions. It was during these times that many righteous men and women of Yahweh were killed. The 10th persecution was the most severe. There were six main things that occurred in the time between 284 and 305 BCE. The first one is all places of assembly for worship to be destroyed. And keep in mind that these things were to stop the work of Yahweh, get the work of Yahweh completely out like it was never heard of. The second one, so the first one is all places of assembly for worship to be destroyed. The second one, all Bibles burned. The third one, all believers to be deprived of civil rights in the empire. The fourth one, all believers in the palace to be sold as slaves. The fifth, all elders and deacons to be arrested and compelled to sacrifice to Roman gods. And then the sixth one, all believers, whether of the clergy or not, to be compelled to sacrifice to the Roman gods. So this, instead of sacrificing or doing the things according to the laws of Yahweh, they were forced to do the things of the world, to sacrifice to gods. And then notice, their only alternative to sacrificing to the gods of Rome was death. So if they didn't sacrifice to the gods, they were killed. And that was just one of the persecutions that occurred. And that was in 284 to 305 BEC. There was nine other ones before that. And this is also whenever the prophets and apostles were killed as well. Now, Satan was able to stop the work of Yahweh by killing off the true saints and forcing in a new religion. This new religion is the Catholic Church. They're trying to force freedom, freedom from Yahweh's laws. That's the only freedom that they're forcing. And being able to do whatever is right in your own eyes. Now, one way she is trying to stop the work of Yahweh today is through persecution. Now, we've been warned a lot by our great overseer not to fall for this persecution, not to let it get us down. This is one article. This is from CBS News. It says, "House of Yahweh, a darker sect than FLDS." You remember that was another place that they came against because they had a little bit of holiness, because they practiced some of the laws. It starts out by saying, "Behind guarded ornate gates at the end of a rural road, a self-proclaimed prophet warns his followers about the time of the end and rails against a dangerous, unclean world outside their West Texas compound." So notice, they're trying to make it look like this is some place that has very deep, dark secrets. But notice, we're going to see what Pastor says about this a little bit later on in this article. The article goes on to say, it says that this is the House of Yahweh, a different, even darker sect than the state has been investigating for years. Authorities in February charged the group's 73-year-old leader with performing polygamous weddings and forcing about 40 children, some as young as 11, to work jobs on his 44-acre compound. "If a bunch of adults want to get together and follow some con man and throw their lives away, that's their right in this country." So they're framing Pastor as a con man, said the Callahan County District Attorney. He He goes on to say, but to me, when you do that to children, they don't have a chance, that's where the biggest concern is. So they're framing Pastor to be a con man and saying that we're breaking all of their laws. But what does Pastor have to say to all this? He doesn't come back with more retaliation saying stuff about them. No, he says, we have nothing to hide. We don't. We have nothing to hide. We're teaching Yahweh's laws. He says, anyone can come here and leave at any time. It's your choice. You have a choice, as it says in Deuteronomy. We all have a choice, whether to choose life or to choose death. Another person said, it's definitely a cult that follows mind control techniques. So many people's lives have been destroyed by what's going on over there. Well, the only place that lives are being destroyed is outside of the house of Yahweh. It's the only place that's occurring. Now, some of this, this persecution, came from a quote from one of the sermons pastor said. The article says, bail was initially set at $10 million, partially because of a perceived threat in a sermon. Pastor said, I'm not asking much of you. I'm just asking that you be willing to die rather than to leave this house. So we should all be really willing to do this rather than to leave the only place of protection. This is the only place that you will receive this protection, true protection. Now, I hope through all this persecution we stood in our place and we didn't let it get us down. I have a couple articles, and this is just one article that was put out, but I have a couple excerpts out of the Book of Israels that Pastor has been teaching us to go back and recover and cover again in our minds so that we can set it deeply in our minds. But this one is from the 9th Book of Israel, Part 1, Chapter 10, Verse 9. Pastor says, if you look over to 1 Yochanan 3 in verse 13, 1 Yochanan 3:13, he said, do not marvel, my brothers, if the world hates you. Well, of course, that's one thing we did. We started, wow, we were really shook up because we found out we were hated. And of course, it wasn't hard to find out. It was in the newspapers, you know, being published here on all three news channels. These news channels, they put out news to other places that were finding out, that we were finding out, is reaching to other cities. And they're trying there in the other cities to stop our work. They're using all their authority that they possibly can to stop the work of Yahweh. Whether it be through spreading false information, lies, propaganda, they will do anything to stop the work of Yahweh, to get us to give up on ourselves. But we can't give up on ourselves. We have to stand in our place, as Pastor said, and wait on Yahweh. He also said in the 6th Book of Israel, Chapter 38, verse 70, he says, we want to be alert, but we don't want to stop the work of Yahweh, because the work is more important than any of us, and life. Yahweh can bless us with more, yes, but he can't start the work over again. He won't start the work over again. We've got to do this work, and that's our reward. Our reward, in fact, is based upon our love for this work that we have, the love for wanting to do it forever. So we should have love the work of Yahweh so much that we should want to do it forever. It's an eternal position that is being offered to us. I can't think of a better thing that a person could ever desire to do than to bring righteousness to this world and the universe. Can you? Can you think of a better position or a better opportunity than to bring righteousness to the world and the universe? No. Praise Yahweh. I can see Yahweh has not let anything interfere with this plan. And why? He won't. It's an urgent time. It's an urgent time that we're living in right now. Now, we have to be alert, but we can't stop the work of Yahweh. Be alert of the things that are going on. Now, Satan is trying real hard to make us give up on ourselves and the work of Yahweh. But we can't let that separate us from the true love that we should have for this work. In the 7th Book of Israel, Part 2, Chapter 24, Verse 72, Pastor says, you might try that if it gets too strong, but don't stop the work. Keep the work going. If you stop the work, she, or Satan, has whipped you, and that's what she's wanting to do, brethren, is stop this work. We're the only work of Yahweh on the face of the earth. We're doing everything that Yahweh said. We're also suffering persecution, but notice what Pastor says. Rejoice. Rejoice over it. no matter what we're suffering, no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard we think these tests are, rejoice over it. Rejoice in the fact that we're being persecuted. And wait on Yahweh. She's willing to do anything to stop this work, even if that means destroying the whole universe. Pastor tells this to us in the 12th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 12 and verse 63. He says, she's wanting so bad to stop the work of Yahweh, but she can't. She's so frustrated, she's willing to wipe out the whole world, universe and all. She knows she's going to die. She don't care. She's willing to wipe out the total universe, and she thinks she can. And Yahshua said, if she can, then the laws of Yahweh will stop. Otherwise, if she don't, if she's not able to destroy the universe, then one yod, or one tittle, will in no wise pass from this law. It will engulf the universe. It will engulf the universe and bring peace. Praise Yahweh. So this, the laws of Yahweh, the work of Yahweh, will bring peace to the whole universe. Now this is a statement that Pastor, our great overseer, said in one of his press releases. He said, "Fear not, just repent and convert to practicing righteousness, and Yahweh will take care of the rest. The house of Yahweh is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It will not be destroyed again. The gates of hell will not be allowed to prevail ever again against the house of Yahweh. Remember, believe in Yahweh and the one that he has sent to us in these last days, and Yahweh will work out the rest. Yahweh's plan will never stop, nor will his work, and that's something that you can count on. Praise Yahweh. If you all please stand, I have the great honor and privilege to turn it over to the great Kahan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Woo, 613. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Everybody has their pens and paper ready? All right. I'm gonna try to go through this a little slower today, just to try to help. I know it's just a lot of information, but today first of all, I need to remind you, this coming 17th, Wednesday, is a new moon. Don't forget, the 17th. I heard one of the future priests up here praying. He says, I hope we learn a lot today. Well, he's going to learn a lot. The lot, pastor's lot, remember 17? Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about, but we're going to talk about fish. We're going to go fishing, too. How's that sound? How many of you like fish? All right. It's a great, great, great thing for us. Before I get into the meat of the fish sermon there, since today's 6:13, I thought I'd bring a little treat for us to remember. If you could turn to Exodus 28 real quick and look at verse 34. Exodus 28, and it's talking about the priestly garments that the high priest wears. Forgot my glasses again, but I'll do the best I can here. Exodus 28, verse 34. It says, the gold bells and the pomegranates are to alternate around the hem of the robe. Now, this is speaking of the robe. Let me back up one verse. Make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around the hem of the robe with gold bells between them. The gold bells and pomegranates alternate around the robe. And just to kind of give you an idea of what that would look like, y'all familiar with this picture of the high priest's garments, but they would be down here at the bottom, right down around here. It would be a pomegranate, gold bell, so on and so forth. So I got to thinking about pomegranates, and something really interesting about pomegranates I want to share with you. And this is from, again, I don't have my glasses, hint, hint. but it's from aquaphoenix.com, and it's an article regarding pomegranates. And, you know, they're very, very extremely beneficial for us and healthy. Which, you know, anything that's mentioned in Scripture that Yahweh mentions in these things is very healthy for us. But something caught my attention because they were talking about how many seeds are found in pomegranates. So there's a big long article here, but I'm going to get to the meat of it here. Notice, this is their calculations on the average number of seeds in a pomegranate. I'm sure that's a coincidence, right? And that's, they took pomegranates from all over the world, and they, you know, some had more, some had less, but the average number of seeds in a pomegranate was 613. Isn't that amazing? You know, Yahweh just never ceases to amaze. Thank you. Probably going to look a little funny with these, but hey, that's what you get for not thinking ahead, right? I did think ahead, but I forgot again to... All right, last Sabbath was 6. I want to give you something else here. Last Sabbath on, what was it, 6-6? On 6-6 at about 6-something in the afternoon, there was a race taking place, right? And y'all might have seen this headline, American Pharaoh becomes first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. Did that catch your attention? That number 37? And the name American Pharaoh and maybe even Triple Crown bring anything to your mind? Well, it should have. Speaking about this race, you know, let me show you a little something here. The Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing. The Triple Crown. And let me show you in America where the Triple Crown... First of all, the Triple Crown, it's talking about 3 different races in May and June. And first you have the Kentucky Derby. And it's at Church Hill Downs. As in Babylon Falling. Okay? That's in Louisville, Kentucky. The second one of the Triple Crown is the Preakness Stakes, and it's in Maryland. And then you have the third one, and the last one to win the Triple Crown is called the Belmont Stakes. Well, Bale, let me show you a little something here from the Halloween booklet. Let me plug that. On page 11... put my trusty glasses on here. Okay, page 11 here. Pastor told us all about Bel and what Bel meant. Remember, Bel is the Lord over all. The same means the same as Baal. Okay? So, Belmont, mont meaning mountain. Belmont would mean mountain of Baal or Baal's mountain. As in Church Hill Downs, right? Baal's mountain's falling too, isn't it? Now remember the race that Pastor's been teaching us about. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. And it's on page 893. It says... running the race, obtaining the reward. Do you know that those who run in a race all compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. And everyone who competes conduct himself temperate in all things. Now here's the original triple crown winner. Right here. There's the triple crown for you. It's called a tiara. A tiara is a crown, and the Pope wears a triple crown. Okay? There's the triple crown winner that's, it says, competing to obtain a perishable crown. That crown right there is not going to last. The crown that we're going to receive in the house of Yahweh, brothers and sisters, is lasting. It's imperishable, as it says here, we for an imperishable crown. Okay? So let's keep running this race. You know, stay strong. You know, these things, you know, are in the news for a reason. You know, Yahweh's using the news to even show us these things. So now let me get into something else here. Let's talk about, look at another picture that's been spotted. Now, if I could have you play the video. Okay, as you can see here, on May 12, 2015, of all days, and this is from a UK newspaper. It says it's about extreme weather and about how it's the El Nino and all that is causing a lot of problems. Notice this wave. It's circled for you right now. What you're going to see is a woman with a blue bonnet on her head. Just watch carefully. It'll trace it out for you so you'll be able to see. Everybody see okay? It'll trace her face out here for you in just a moment. There you go. To help you see a little better. Okay? Now remember, this was on May 12th in the same area that Pastor's face was spotted. Okay? Remember, Pastor was in Scotland on December 10th of last year. Okay? It's going to continue to kind of give you an idea what that looked like. Now, when you fade it or you darken the picture a little bit, you're going to notice a number that comes up. You know how you can take your picture on your iPhone and darken it and shade it? Notice the number 38 is seen in the relief. Now, the number 38, it's going to give us a definition what 38 means in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance. There's the face again. It's going to give you a definition here of number 38. 38 means father of the sea, okay? And it's from another number, 37 of all numbers, right? I'm sorry, not 37, but 3220. And it means to see, roaring of the sea, okay? Remember those definitions. And then Strong's Hebrew 28 or a Greek 28 means to purify or consecrate, to make holy, okay? And it's from 37, which means to purify. Notice, this is the original wave picture. It was December 10th at 7:13 when that article came out. Now let's count the days from December 10th to May 12th. On the 31st of April, you have, March, you have 111. April, at the end of the month, you have 141 days. 153 days between December 10th and May 12th, when that picture was seen. Write that down, 153, okay? It's very important. The number 153 is what they call a narcissistic number. It loves itself. Because everything you do with it comes back to 153. 1 to the third power, 5 to the third power, and 3 to the third power. In other words, 1 times 1 times 1, 5 times 5 times 5, 3 times 3 times 3 equals, it comes out to 153 when you add them all up. 153 can express, you can make 153 if you take the number 1 and you add 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6, all the way up to 17, it adds to 153. Try it yourself. Don't do it right now, but it's a number that loves itself. Let's go to the next slide. 153, there's 1/5 to the third power that I showed you before. And it's also this number here. If you take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you take the 5 and you say 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. And then you take the 4 and you say 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. You take the 3 and you do 3 times 2 times 1. You take the 2 and you go 2 times 1. Remember, all the denominators below it, all the integers below it, it'll add to 153. Next slide. The number 153 is the 17th triangular number, okay? The 17th triangular number. As you can see on this triangle, the 17th row, the very last number, will be 153, okay? Now, isn't it amazing? Let me just tell you a little bit. I'm going to remind you about the number 17. Because remember, we gave one of the pastor's lots on the stone was the number 17, was it not? 17, 28, 74. Y'all remember that, right? Okay, this is very important that this number 17 gets in the forefront of your mind, because I'm still been explaining all this time about this lot. That's what all these sermons are about. This isn't just up here, throwing numbers. This is explaining pastor's lot. And it's going to take a long time to get through it because the well of Yahweh is so deep. Okay, it is so deep, it's never ending. Okay, never ending. You're going to see how never ending it is. Now that number 17, I want to remind you, 17 used to be called 710. It wasn't called 17, but that's where the word 17 comes from. It's 710. Seven is the number of completion. We went over that before, if you remember. And 10 is the number of ordinal perfection. Remember, the Ten Commandments is a great example. So when you take 710, what you're really doing, or 17, what you're really doing is you're saying, like, just complete perfection. Okay? Complete perfection. And actually, in Psalm 119, it talks about I believe it was King David that said, "I've seen an end of all perfection, but your laws, there is no end to the perfection in those laws." Okay, there is no end to this well; it never runs out. And these numbers are a part of Yahweh's plan, so we need to really get them in our mind. Can we go to the next slide? Continuing on this number 153. Now, if you take the number 153 and you add it to its reverse, like 351, which is reverse, you get 504. Now, 5,042 is 288 times 882. Now, I'm going to show you something. Write this down right now so you don't forget. Write down that number, 288, and write down that number, 882. Okay, because remember, this is the reverse. You get this number when you reverse them. And there's so many things I can't go through about this number 17. You'd be here all day about what you can do with it. But now, write 288 and 882 down. Go to the next slide, please. All right. Yesterday was 612. 612 is 153 times 4. Okay? Number 6 represents man. In Yahweh's, in the numbering system, in Yahweh's scriptures, and 12 represents government. So 612 is speaking of man's government, government of the people and by the people. Now, if you take June 12th, y'all remember the nuclear baby prophecy, right? Right? All right. June 12th, 2007. Remember, the baby was conceived September 12th, 2006. To be born on 9 months later, June 12th or somewhere around there of 2007. So I got to thinking, or I didn't get to thinking, Yahshua, Yahweh, Pastor inspired me to think, well, how many moons has it been since then? Well, since June 12th, 2007 to June 12th, 2015 has been 96 moons, exactly. That's another number we're familiar with, right? That's 2,880 days. So you take that 288 number you just wrote down and put a zero on the end of it, okay? Now, Strong's number 2880, it means glut or sate, eat enough, full. To satiate. Let me tell you what the word satiate means. It means complete. It means full, like you're satisfied, okay? Satiate means complete. It means full, to the full, okay? It means to satiate, to eat enough, full. Okay, can we go to the next slide? Keep these numbers in your mind. Now, Strong's 2880, it's from 2878, and it means slaughter. And then Brown, Driver, and Briggs, right below it, it shows extension. Slaughter, extension, like not delay, but extension, okay? Slaughter, keep that word in your mind. It's from 2878. 2878, if you go to the next slide, is that it? 2878? Yes. It's from 2874, and it means flesh slaughter. Right below that, 2874 says a place of slaughter, beast, slaughter, slay. And it's from 2873, and it means to slaughter animals or men. Kill, slaughter, slay, slay, butcher, kill ruthlessly. And it means, again, at the bottom, to slaughter, butcher, to slay, kill ruthlessly. Now, keep the word slaughter, keep all these words in your mind. And let's turn over to slay. Let's look at slay. Turn over to Revelation 9:14. Revelation 9. It's found on page 977. Revelation 9:14, where it reads, saying to the sixth Moloch, or the last Moloch there, you should have that word last there, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound. Remember that word bound too, okay? Because 6:12 in the Hebrew means these in the Greek, and all these words mean bound, to bind. It says, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. Verse 15, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, in order to slay the third part of mankind. Okay, now this is talking about this great war that's going to take place around the great river Euphrates. Okay, now slaughter. No, you remember the word satiate, right? And it means full. Turn over to page 6:12. 6:12, this should be very easy to remember, because this is talking about the 6:12. Man's government of the people and by the people, and how it's going to end. What their fullness is going to be. Jeremiah chapter 46 on page 6:12. And we're going to look at verse 10. Well, first let's look at verse 6. There is no flight for the swift, nor escape for the strong. In the north by the river Euphrates, they stumble and fall. Verse 9. Gallop, you horses. Gallop, you horses. Let me show you a picture that a great Kohan shared with me that he took just recently here. You'll know this is a priest's car, and a believer's car. Will you see that crack above the windshield there? None of us have, none of us have dust on our cars or something if we live around here. But notice this horse galloping. Let me go back here. Let me try to blow it up a little. See that right there? The man on the horse? And that horse is galloping. Okay? Rushing to battle. Now let me, running their race. Remember where their race is going to end, that perishable crown. Look at verse 10 on page 6:12. For this is the day of Father Yahweh of hosts, a day of judgment, that he may judge himself on his adversaries. The sword will devour, and it will be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For Father Yahweh of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. There's that word satiated, and it means full, okay? Keep these things in your mind. Now, can we have the next slide, please? Oh, by the way, let's not do the next slide yet. Yesterday, a group called Bilderberg was meeting. Now, these are a group of elite. They are like, the G7 is, you know, it used to be the G8, but Russia's been blacklisted about the last three times. And I don't think they showed up this time. They weren't allowed to. So now they're calling themselves the G7. But Bilderberg met about 17 miles away just a few days later. Remember, all this was this week, okay, since 6:15. But the Bilderbergs meeting began on the 11th, and they met yesterday on 6:12. I want to give you a little history about the etymology of that name, Bilderberg. Now, they say that, of course, their first meeting, it was named after the round table meeting in 1954, May of 1954, at the Bilderberger Hotel, or the Bilderberg Hotel in the Netherlands. And that opening, where their opening meeting take place. That's the official story anyway, but let me tell you the real name of Bilderberg. Bill, or Bell, See here? Bill, that B-I-L is Bell, Bail, and Berg, like iceberg, Berg is a mountain, okay? Remember like we saw in Belmont, okay? Remember, all these things took place this week, okay? And Yahweh's showing you who's behind these things, okay? Now, so Bilderberg translates as Bell of the Rock or Bell of the Mountain. Well, what mountain do you suppose that is? Is it this one? Oh, no. These people are planning some slaughter. These people are planning to microchip people. These people are planning to do some very, 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 very ugly things. Okay? But remember that word Bilderberg. Remember that word Bilderberg and what's taking place right now. And remember, that was on 6/12 that they were having this meeting to decide where the world is going. Okay? They've been doing this for a long time. Yes, there are men that are behind closed doors that are guiding this thing. Remember, Pastor said the Pope is a front man, but there's another group behind him, and they're all Masons, and they're all tied together with the Catholic Church, okay? Make no mistake about it. The Catholic Church is not against Freemasonry. They invented it, okay? You can't be against something you invented. Now, can we go to the next slide, please? Now, remember what we just saw. I showed you that equation where you can take 153 and add it to its reverse. Remember, this is 2015, the year of what? Reverse. There's also that number 882 there in the equation. Well, do y'all remember that 8,820 days I mentioned? Well, let's remind you. Go to the next slide. The 7-year peace plan in Daniel, 21 years is 252 months. Add 7 months to May 12th and you get 259 months. 259 months is 7,777 days, or 7,770 days. Well, you're still missing 35 moons if you have 42 moons, right? Well, that's 1,050 days. And when you add 1,050 to that 7,770, you get what? 8,820. That same number that you just saw. You think this is a coincidence? Oh, I think you're gonna greatly rejoice to know it's not, okay? Now, let's get into the fish story. Can you turn over to Yochanan? Yochanan chapter 21, 7:7-7. Yochanan 21, 7:7-7. It's no coincidence either. Because in this story you're gonna find seven disciples, okay? Now remember, this is the third time that Yahshua appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, as we're going to read here. Let's start in verse 1. It says, "After these things, Yahshua revealed himself to the disciples again at the Sea of Tiberias." Now, if you don't know, turn back, just keep your finger where you're at. Turn back to Yochanan 6, because Yochanan explains these things so we don't get confused about what Tiberias is. The Sea of Tiberias, Yochanan 6:1, shows you it's the Sea of Galilee. They renamed it Tiberias after the Roman river Tiber that runs through Rome, because remember, the Romans were the world-whirling kingdom and still are at this time, right? So they named it the Tiberias Sea. It had different names. They even called it the Kinnereth Sea. I think that's how you pronounce it, Kinnereth, as we'll see here in a minute. In fact, I think I have, well, no, I don't, but I'll show you in a minute. So let's go back to Yochanan 21. Okay, so they're at the Sea of Galilee where Yahshua revealed himself. It says, "Gathered together were Simon Kepha, the Apostle Kepha, who also wrote the books, 1st and 2nd Kepha, a very great, great apostle, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zabdia." Y'all remember the sons of Zabdia, what their names were? The sons of Zabdia. Let me see if I have that right here. Well, their names were Yochanan and Jacob, if you go back and look. Yochanan is the one writing this book right here, and Jacob is his brother. And they were known, actually, if you turn, keep your finger there right here real quick. Keep your finger where you're at. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, so you can understand who these men were. Galatians 2 on page 911. And let's look at verse 9. And understanding the blessing given to me, this is the Apostle Shaul talking here. And understanding the blessing given to me, Jacob, Kepha, and Yochanan, who seemed to be the pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Okay, you know, these men were pillars in Yahweh's house. Okay, they were recognized as pillars. Now, turn back to Yochanan 21. So you have Simon Kepha, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, the two sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. That's a total of seven disciples. Verse 3, Simon Kepha said to them, I'm going fishing. You know, remember what had taken place, right? The person that they expected, they expected certain things to take place that didn't quite go the way they thought they were. They didn't understand the prophecies. Remember, at that time, their minds were open later to understand these things. He went back to his old job. That's where Yeshua met him and his brother Andrew. They were fishing, okay? He says, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're also going with you. So he pulled some others back with him, right out to the sea to do their old job. They went out and immediately got into the boat that night. They caught nothing. If you read the side note, it even tells you, Kepha was a fisherman by trade before his calling. What he said was, I'm taking my old job back. I hope none of us have that thought, because this is written for our example. We don't have the luxury of doing this. This is our example we need to avoid. Now it says, now when the morning had come, Yeshua stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know that it was Yeshua. Then Yeshua said to them, children, do you have any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net. Keep that, write the word the net down. The net. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. Now, picture this, okay? You know, they're out there all night fishing. They didn't catch nothing. And all of a sudden, someone's standing on the shore who they didn't know who it was at the time. And he's telling them, hey, cast it on the right side. Well, I want you to understand that these things are also written, you know, you have to know scripture to interpret what's being said here. Okay? The right side represents what? Fellowship with Yeshua. Fellowship. The right hand of fellowship, it's called. Just like Yeshua sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. In other words, taking your seat, doing this work. Being the right hand man of Israel Hawkins. Okay? Who works for who? Yeshua Messiah. Who is the high priest over who? The church of Christ? By no means, brothers. It says in Hebrews 10:21, Yeshua is the high priest over none other but than the house of Yahweh. Okay? The house of Yahweh, as it's always been known as Psalm 23:6 will tell you. Now it says, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find. So they cast, and then they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. Now, let me show you the Hebrew meaning of the word fish. Because I know we got in our mind that, you know, these things, because of the way we were brought up, but there's deeper meaning to this. Let's see, the Hebrew word fish, here it is. It's word number 1711, daga, D-A-G-A-H, and it means to grow. And it means to multiply, increase. Okay, get that? Please write these down, all right? As in, you remember, be fruitful and multiply, right? Now, and also, let me put this down here. Multiply, increase. I want you to remember what Isaiah, go to Isaiah 9 real quick. Isaiah 9. And we're going to look at verse 7. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be an end? No, there's going to be an end to this government of the people and by the people, but there's not going to be any end to the increase of Yahshua's government, which you, brothers and sisters, are going to be right-hand assistants of our great overseer, Israel Hawkins, and Yahshua, and all the saints working together. Now, also, I want you to remember something else about, go up to verse 1. Says, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon those who are in distress, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun. You know, the land of Zebulun, that's where Galilee is. Matter of fact, I think I brought a picture for you. Let's see if I can blow it up. Here is Zebulun here, the land allotted to Zebulun. And notice the Sea of Chinnereth. Who's that again? That's the Sea of Galilee, okay? Now, make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. This is where the work of Yahweh was taking place. It was not taking place in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've been reading the articles. You can Google this yourself. They even know now that the Bethlehem that Yahshua was actually born in was in the north country. There was a Bethlehem in Galilee, okay? But you know, they said they're never going to change it because they're making too much money down there at their tourist attractions. So it's going to be a hard thing for them to put that away, right? Because the love of money is a root of all evil, remember? 1 Timothy 6:10. So here's the land of Zebulun. I've got another picture too. Because it shows you where Galilee is. There's Galilee. This whole area, Nazareth, all these, this whole area is Galilee. It's like a district, okay? Now, a funny thing, too. Go over to, let me see if I wrote my note here. Well, you remember they said the Pharisees had said that, you know, none of the Pharisees or rulers, you know, have believed in this Messiah. No prophet arises out of Galilee. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. They must not have known the scriptures because, and Yahshua told them in Yochanan 8, they didn't know the scriptures. Micaiah came from, it says, Moresheth, Gath in Galilee. Elijah, or Ilya the prophet, came. He was a native of Gilead in Galilee. Jonah, or Yana, was from Gath Hepher in Galilee. Okay? Either these guys were delusional, or they didn't read their scriptures, okay? And remember what Yahshua told these people? Yahweh's word was not in them, okay? They did not know. They were in this thing for money. They weren't in this thing. They weren't righteous shepherds by any means, okay? So don't be fooled by, you know, people's talk. Turn back over to, turn over to Jeremiah 23 real quick, because I want to read something here to you. Talk about increase, multiplying, okay? Remember what fish means, to be fruitful, multiply. Jeremiah 23, and let's look at verse 1. Woe to the pastors, shepherds, who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says Yahweh. Therefore, this is what Yahweh, the Father of Israel, says against the pastors who feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited, attended to them. Behold, I'm going to visit and attend to you for the evil of your doing, says Yahweh. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I've driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they will, what? Be fruitful and increase. In other words, multiply. Okay? And look at verse 4. And I will set up shepherds, that's teachers, over them. Remember, captains of hundreds, captains of thousands, captains of fifties, captains of tens. And they will fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither will they be lacking. Okay? Remember the great future priest Odiah was up here talking about Jacob 1? Jacob, remember? He said, you'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing if you do these things. Okay? All right, now, and remember what Pastor said about May 10th, or his May 12th dream. Yahweh is in full control, full, filled up, satiate. Remember, to the full, like Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, what is 10 and 7? 17. In the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, all these things will be finished, filled up, satiated, satisfied. That's what all those words mean. Okay, now, here's what Strong's Greek, when it talks about fishermen. Remember, Yahshua told him, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Okay, because remember, they were fishers of fish at one time. But now, let's get something straight. Do any of you think that you can take, like, fishing in the world would be like fishing in the ocean, where you can choose what bait you're going to use and these little tricks to get people to come to the house of Yahweh? Is that how we fish them? Who draws people here? Yeah, Yahweh draws us here. We don't bring, I believe one of the speakers last week told us that. She said, well, let me correct myself. I didn't come here. Yahweh drew me here, okay, in the net. Now, watch this. This is Strong's Greek, where it says fisherman or fisher of men. It means a fisherman, okay? And it's from this word, hals, meaning the sea. You remember that number 38 in the man of the sea? Remember that, pastor? The man of the sea? What is the sea? The multitudes, nations, peoples, and languages. Remember Revelation 17. Remember these things. And it's from the word hals, a fisherman. And it means a sailor as engaged on the salt water, a fisherman. And it's from Greek 231. Let me see. That is 231. Okay. And it's here's the where it goes to. It leads to 251, which is salt. And it says the sea, a salt water body. And it says C217. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? Revelation 2:17. Remember all those things that were brought on all this? And 2:17. Let's see. Kind of got my papers messed up here. Where's 2:17? Oh, here it is. Sorry about that. 2:17. It means salt. Okay. And it says, figuratively, Yahweh preserving and seasoning a believer as they grow in loving Yahweh with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and in all their relationships. Okay? Remember, you are the salt of the earth. You know, we are salting men, is what we're doing. We're teaching. We're salting them. We're fishing for men. Okay, I'm going to show you in a minute. I want to remind you of something else in a slideshow a few times back. Remember the number 153? I showed this slide here. I think it was right before May 12th, we were talking about the power that is going to be given to the sons of Yahweh. And it was from the second book of Israel. And it was on page 153. Okay? And the date adds to 21, which is a 777. You take 3693 and divide it by 17 to get 217, right? And 153 divided by 17 is 9, as I showed you on that first slide about the number 153. Now, you think that's a coincidence? And in that book, in that actual chapter, you could read it for yourself, he talked about Yochanan 17 and Yahshua talking about all that Yahweh had given him. Those whom you have given me. Remember his prayer in Yochanan 17? He prayed for all those that Yahweh had given him. Okay, so this Shimon Kepha, Simon Kepha, I wanted to show you real quick his name actually. Word number, Shimon is word number 4613. 4613 in the Greek. And it's that word that means, it ties back to Hebrew, which means like the word Shamil or the Shema, hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Father, Yahweh is one, okay? That's where that name comes from. here was my notes on the other thing, but the sons of Zebedee, if you want to write this down, they're sons of Zabdia. That was in Matithiah 4:21. It names Jacob and Yochanan. Okay, now, and this is actually a little, this little thing here is from Yochanan 21. It shows all the Greek words there. Now, I want to show you something very amazing here, because my time's almost up. Now, this is from a site called Bible Wheel. Let me explain something to you. You have to be very careful. unless you've really been assigned to do something, I wouldn't be trying this. Because in the world, you have information. Remember, it's a mixture of righteousness and evil, is it not? So you have to be very wise and discernible. You have to have discernment. You also have to have the authority to do these things so you can know what to throw away, what to keep. If you'll turn over to Jeremiah 16, just a few pages over from Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 16:16, on page 586, he says, "Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says Yahweh, and they will fish them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain, every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks." Now, I want you to understand something. Because we're going to get into this net here in a moment, but the world has a net too. Satan has a net too. Turn over to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. I'll give you a page number. Habakkuk chapter 1. It's on page 710. Look at verse 14. It says, "Why do you make men like the fish of the sea, like swimming things that have no ruler over them? They take up..." Now, this is talking about Babylon here. "They take up all of them with a hook." Talking about men. "They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their drag, because by them their portion is rich and their meat plenteous. Are they to continue emptying their net, slaying nations without mercy?" You think this is going to continue, brothers and sisters? No. These fishers are going to be replaced. Because these fishers, when it told them to be fruitful and multiply and have rulership over the fish of the sea and all that passes through the rivers and the seas, you know, their idea is force, murder. He says, no. And look at verse chapter 2, verse 3. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak," and it is speaking now, "and it will not lie. Though it seems slow, brothers and sisters, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not delay." Okay? Now, let's go to back to the Bible wheel here. And what this is it takes words and it shows you the value of the words. The word fisher or fish, I'm going to try and zoom in on it here for you. The word fishers has the value of, let me find the right one. Okay, the net. Remember when he said cast the net? That has the value of 1,224. If you take the Greek letters and you add them up in the net, it's 1,224. That's 612 times 2. That's 153 times 8. You got that? You can do the math later. Okay? Now, the word fish, I'm sorry, here it is, deog in the Greek, or in the Hebrew, adds up to 17. Deog in the Hebrew, 17. Remember, using Hebrew gematria, okay? Each letter in the Hebrew is worth a certain amount if you just look it up. Turn over to Yeketzkeh chapter 47. Yeketzkeh 47. Pastor told me I need to get this in, okay? So just bear with me. Yeketzkeh 47. Let's look at verse 10. Well, let's start... at verse 1, and it says, "Afterward, he brought me to the back door of the house of Yahweh, and behold, there was water flowing from under the threshold of the house of Yahweh toward the east, This is talking about in the millennial reign. For the front of the house of Yahweh faced east. The water came down from under the right side of the house of Yahweh on the south side of the altar. Now, I just want to give you an idea, and it shows the water going out, and it gets deeper and deeper as it goes. Look at verse 8. Then he said to me, "These waters flow toward the eastern region and go down into the desert and on out into the Dead Sea. When the waters flow into the Dead Sea, the waters will be healed." Now, you have to remember, these things mean something else. They're a little deeper. You can't interpret them without the, you know, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, okay? Verse 9, "And it will be that every living creature that moves in every place the rivers flow will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters will flow there and will be healed, and everything will live where the river flows. And it will be that fishermen will stand along the river from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. They will spread their nets. Their fish will be of very many kinds, the same kinds of fish as the great sea." Okay, now, those words En-Gedi and Eglaim, okay, I want to show you what they mean and what their value is. Right here, Gedi has the value of 17, and Eglaim is 153. Now, do you think that's a coincidence? Oh, no. Okay, there's no coincidence there. And it shows you here, Gedi is, Gamil is worth, or Ayin is worth 70, Gamil is 3, Lamed is 30, Yod is 10, and Mem is 40, and that equals 153, okay? Just like the net in Yochanan 21 equals 1224, which is 612 times 2, or 153 times 8. I know you guys are, it's a little early for math, right? Well, me and the great deacon that helped me on my slideshow last night, I was boggling his mind too. He's like, "Come with this math, it's 12 o'clock at night." I got one more thing here to show you. Now, this is the actual proof here. The word, the net. This is the number 1224 when you add them up in the Greek. This is not me, my doing here. This is from an actual, you can take the letters yourself and add them up if you know what you're doing. The net adds up to 1,224. Those whom you have given me adds up to 1,224. Remember, 153 times 8, or 612 times 2. And also, bind under a curse. Remember 612? For man, man's government. Bind under a curse. Remember, they're bound by the great river Euphrates there? Okay? All right, now, I think I'm going to leave it there, but I'm going to give you one more thing just to remind you, just to kind of let you know. Turn over to, you know what? I think that's where I'm going to leave off. Just do this, okay? Take what you got now. Remember the number 17, 153, the 153 fish, what the word fish means, multiply, okay? Fishermen, teachers, to multiply the people. Remember, there's not going to be any end to this government that's being set up, okay? There's not going to be any end to it. And remember, new moon, 17, okay, this month, okay, just a few days, be there or be square. No, you won't be square if you're not there. So be there. It's been a really great honor and privilege. If you'd all please stand. It's been really awesome. And now to serve up some more great food, the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, starting in the news here locally, it's a food you may not want. City of Abilene, many residents reporting that the water coming out of the faucet is brown. And of course, all of this stirring up the city to go in and look. And they're coming back and saying that, of course, this is a substance called manganese. And it's brown, it smells. Now, we can get the urine and the feces out, but this other stuff will be okay. Go ahead and drink it. Now, they even one of the reporters watched. She says that if it's really dirty, run your water for 10 minutes and it should get cleaner. Now, keep in mind, we're in a drought, too. So run your water for 10 minutes. If you're running it through a sewer pipe, surely something will be cleaner. Well, keep in mind, it's a deception what they're throwing on the people here. Then also in Walmart this last week, what we want you to get is not the fight that took place between the two women in Walmart as everybody stood around and watched, but we want you to notice the young boy, 8 years old, who his mother bragged about he's being trained in martial arts, how he helped his mother beat this woman with a shampoo bottle. Now, this is what's being put in the mind of the children with this martial arts and so forth that we've been told to stay away from, this training, this way of life. And there were other children watching this take place as everyone stood back and laughed and no one stopped it. Also, coming out this last few weeks, hip-hop, worldly music, not just hip-hop, not just rap, but rock and roll, it's coming out that back in the 90s, corporate America, speaking of prisons, these profit prisons, the people that own these prisons for profit, they invested back in the 90s in music, thinking that it would drive, the lyrics of this music would drive people into prisons. It would corrupt behavior. And guess what? It's right. They're right. It has worked leaps and bounds. And pay attention because it's followed up also showing how prisons are created for profit, not rehabilitation, not fixing people, not helping people restart their lives, but made for profit. And just think about it for a moment. If a prisoner is what you need to generate income, they're your customer. Do you really want to lose your customer? No, because when you lose your customer, your prisoner, you lose profit. And that's not what they're in for. And keep that profit, for profit in mind as the news plays. Because then it goes into, so a 16-year-old boy, he's 22 now, committed suicide this last week. He was arrested when he was 16 for stealing a book bag held in Rikers Island for 3 years, where he was beat and other perverse things took place to him. But he was never tried for the crime and the charges were dropped and he was let go. But he was held for 3 years. Also, another woman taken in police custody. It shows the beating she received from correctional officers at the actual jail facility, the county facility, the beating she took. And they're saying there was no reason for it. And then pay special attention to China and Russia coming out this week saying that they are looking to start a new world order. And, of course, this would be separate from the one Pope Francis is looking to start. So pay close attention to that, because Vladimir Putin did go to meet with the Pope this week, and everyone describes the meeting as cold. In fact, Vladimir Putin stood the Pope up for 70 minutes. He made him wait on him for 70 minutes while he was at the expo. And Vladimir Putin, of course, the Pope reminding him, watch carefully, the Pope reminds him what needs to be done in Ukraine, and watch Vladimir Putin's, watch his response. He just smiles. And that's all he does. And then he leaves because he said he had another meeting to get to. So pay close attention to that. Also, the American Red Cross, that is the fifth largest nonprofit organization in America, took in $500 million for Haiti. And when it was looked into by some news organizations, they built six houses with $500 million. Then we get back into corporate America and a professor from Princeton saying that corporate America was invented, or this Christian America was invented by corporate America, and of course saying it started back in the 1930s. This corporate America inventing Christian America, and pay attention, they say it was done through the preachers, and we all know that the love of money is the root of all evil. Then it gets into a latest study for STDs here in the United States, showing cities that have the highest rates. Now, also pay attention, when they're showing this, of course, St. Louis and Baltimore are two of the top three. And think about the protests and all of the troubles we've had in those two cities. Well, they rank 1 and 3 for chlamydia and gonorrhea. And think about what it does to the minds of the people. But also remember what Pastor said, that we need to stop. We need to stop what's causing it. But all they're saying is you need to come get tested to see if you have it. Not one word is said on stopping it. And then we're going to close it up with something that we've showed you before, but I would like to read the scripture real quick because I want this scripture to echo in your minds as you watch this. You can write it down for your notes. It's Jacob chapter 1 and verses 12 through 16. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, man or woman, he or she, when he or she has been proved, he or she will receive the crown of life which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by Yahweh, for Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he or she is drawn away by his or her own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. And the last warning we get is, do not be deceived. Of course, once again, we're going to show the presentation on what the latest new drug is. But if you don't let it in your mind, you do not have to harbor the consequences of this new drug. If we could go ahead and play the news. If everyone will please stand. Now remember, it's very important to remember that this unlawful lust, this worldly music, has been proven to totally rewire the brain from what it was intended to be. At this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Khan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Can you hear me, Yahweh? Just a little bit louder. Come on. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It seems like that worldly music, and you're going to learn more about this, the worldly music, how it destroys the brain, and of course the exposing the nakedness. This is what rent Cain's brain. And you'll see this in Scripture as well as in science now. But this is really great what was brought out. You parents, I want to tell you right now, if you allow your children and you have any control in doing so, and you allow your children to participate in worldly music or pornography, you may as well, you're guilty, you're as guilty as taking a gun and blowing part of the brain away. Now that's how guilty you are. You better wake up and start getting them out of this world. And you better get out of it. You know, if I was a young boy right now, and my mother tried to give me something like that, I think I'd take it and I'd throw it through the television set. Break the screen on the television set. Try that. See if you can wake her up, or your dad, if he's doing this to you. He's killing you. He's murdering you. He's taking your eternal life. And now you got scientific reports telling you this. I've told you this for over 60 years. And you sit there and go to sleep and let it go in one ear and out the other. And what are you going to do when Yahweh brings you before His throne saying, why did you do this to these children? It's a nasty thing. It's an evil thing. It's in the birds too. Chickens. Your price of eggs is going up because of it. Yes, this is what's getting to your birds. The same thing that you're putting in the minds of the children is getting through your bodies, and you're going to see this. You know, the sermons I thought today was the greatest. The great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins and his these numbers. This is so magnificent what Yahweh is showing us in these numbers. This 153, you know, standing for the, it was 153 fish that Yeshua showed you in the net. You never would think that would mean anything. And of course, Sunday school teachers, you know, sometimes they'll say, how many rocks did David have in his sling or in his bag? Well, of course, there is meaning to this, or Yahweh wouldn't have put it there. And then get this now. The great deacon Tawakia, he brought out the racing. And, of course, it hadn't been long that I brought this sermon about we're running a race. And of course, the two sermons, they're combined. I didn't tell them what to teach. I've assigned the people to studying certain things that they're interested in, and I, coax them and help them along. But there's a lot more to go. You know that Kohan Benjamin Krause, he brought out this great racehorse, you know, that they got. Well, most people would never see the meaning of this, see? This great racehorse, you know, at a time when I said we're running a race. We're in race with Satan. We're going to overcome Satan. We're going to overcome this world. But this horse, it's a pretty easy name to remember, you know, Pharaoh. Pharaoh, what does it mean? Anybody know what the word Pharaoh means? Nobody? It means great house. It means great house. Now, if you remember Moshe in his fight with Ramesses, y'all remember that? Well, Ramesses, of course, was the son of the great house. He's the son of Pharaoh. So he's the son of the great house. Well, what was this great house? Christianity, the Coptic religion. That was the great house of the gods. Coptic means universal, just like Catholic does. And it means universal, meaning they worshiped all the gods. I've told you this for 50 years now. Now, this great house of the gods, if you remember, Moshe, I think it was the 15th, Benjamin will be bringing these numbers out for you, but it's the first month, 15th of the month, when they left Ramesses. they left the sons of the gods, and they went to, what was it, Sukkah? What does Sukkah mean to you? Yes, they'd rather dwell in tents than to be a part of this great house of the gods that's bringing all this trouble on the world today. Well, it came down from the great house of the gods to the great army, of course, and the great house of that sits on the seven hills of Rome. That's what it's come down to today. But anyway, all of this ties together. And of course, it's falling. It's their way of life is falling. It's bringing sickness and disease to the sick minds. They don't even know what to do. You know, you saw the fighting going on in the stores. It was just reported to me this morning that there's coming to services on I-20. And here was a road rage going on that passed them and then left the I-20 and went off into the ditch, crossed the medium, and one chasing another one, and both of them looking real angry, one looking scared in front, the other one looking angry, and the one looking scared in front, trying to get away from the other one. Don't know how it wound up. You may see it on tonight's news. May have killed both of them. No telling, but it's the road rage was on the news this week that people are going crazy out on the highways, and of course, if you give them a opportunity to get mad, you know, I would smile and you know, I didn't mean to, buddy. Sorry about that. Certainly apologize quickly before they try to kill you. But that number 153, that's Yochanan 21:11, and that's a never-ending number, as the great Kohan brought out, a never-ending number, which is kingdom, you know, the growth of it. There will be no end. That was in Isaiah, I think, Isaiah 11:7 or something like that. I can't remember where. But at this stage of the game, we got chlamydia infection may pave the way to cancer. You remember years ago I told you that this was causing the diseases. The STDs are causing diseases. Well, of course, you got chlamydia and you got the herpes and you got the polio that actually now they're finding out that this polio is actually caused from an STD that defiled the brain, that harmed the brain. You add to these STDs the worldly music and the lust that gets your mind geared to that. You know, Yeshua had these temptations, but he overcame. He overcame, meaning he resisted Satan. You need to make up your mind in advance, because Satan is getting stronger and stronger with her efforts to try to get you to break the law, like the great house of the gods, Pharaoh, his wife, the queen, remember, and Yosef. And he said no. Why did he do that? Because he had his mind on serving Yahweh and making it into the kingdom and getting his children into the kingdom. He'd rather live in tents, he said. Yes, and Yahweh brought them out, and they proved that to Yahweh. Some of them did. City water and Abilene Brown, but they said not to worry about it. Our cleaning system is getting everything out of it. Well, I don't know why it didn't get the brown out, if it's so great a cleaning system that we got. I'd like for you to get signed up, enrolled in this Peaceful Solution classes. We got them. It fits every time period. There's not much excuse that you'd have not to. Just get enrolled. It's even free if you'll finish the course. I'm assigning different things to different people because I'm trying to stay up with writing letters, and I'm trying to get as much time as I can in. I turned in a news article this week to the newspapers, and they jerked it up. You know, Satan's job is to cause mankind to destroy himself. And then that was just bits and pieces of it we saw on the news. Even the fights and the two women, you know, two soft, tender women used to be. Of course, they don't know what they are now. You know, they may be man or half man or whatever. You never know. Because the body is so screwed up and the brains are so screwed up. So, you know, they don't even know what they're doing anymore. They're going into rages. But anyway, that's Satan's job. Our job is to overcome this and to bring out as many fish as we possibly can at this time period. And then, of course, at the end of this time period, we're going to have the 2 billion to deal with. We are reaching... This surprised me this week in New York Square, Times Square, this article, Israel Hawkins' open letter to the scientists this week, explaining why the earth is sick. Well, it was in my mind we'd get, you know, probably 45 or 50,000. We got 19,124,000 already, and it's climbing. Of news medias that is running that article, and I noticed too some of the news articles that they sent me, the news medias that's running it. Some of these have to do with research, news, business news, things like this, and run up into the millions of viewers. The one, sorry about that. This is another one that we released this week. Israel Hawkins writes letter to scientists this week explaining why the earth is sick. No, that's the same one, but we ran it in a different way. And this one was the one that sent it to the storm center that actually sent it out to 391,509 people. And another storm center that sent it out to 4,420,000. This is a government thing. And another one here that sent it out to 5,073,465. So, this is what shocked me. This is up to 189 million people right now. Yes. These are the articles I'm begging you to proofread and and really study, not just proofread, but really study them. A new post this week, Israel Hawkins praises religious leaders for confessing Yahweh is the name of the Creator. That's up to 87,000, that article, that in just one group of news medias that sucked it up. So we are reaching the people. The herpes virus in the brain, the herpes virus, it cannot act on its own. And I've shown this to the scientists now, and I've shown them how we've got a combination. I want to show you in Scripture how this came about, because there was a long buildup, and it's a long plan of Yahweh that built this thing, that allowed this to be done, I mean, because what is taking place now, if I could just describe it, in a laboratory, I remember in my younger days in the work of State Board of Health Laboratories, I remember us putting a lot of things in test tubes, and we would grow things, and we would see if this was what we were hunting, to try to find something to stop the farmer's sheep from dying. We did a lot of work then for agriculture, because it was all sent to the State Board of Health saying, find us something to stop this, and some kind of chemical or something that we can sell the people to stop this. Well, this was a laboratory. Well, what we have done and what the Scripture shows that we've done, it's a long story, but I do intend to get into it thoroughly next week. What we have done is we've built in our bodies and our brains this laboratory where, over the centuries, you know, once herpes gets in your blood, it's there. You can't get rid of it. There's no way of getting rid of it. Now, we know ways of slowing it down. That's the four oil treatments. But I'm not sure that it actually gets rid of it. I think it might. But science has nothing on the market. The drugs have nothing on the market that will get rid of it. And it hides. Well, here they've got a new one now that's newly come out, that you saw the vice president's son, Joe Biden's son, died. I wrote a letter on that, too. It'll be out soon. But he died of this new type cancer. It's not like the others now. This one actually finds a way to hide in the crevices of the brain to where it can't be detected. And it takes a few years, but it gets to them. Now, when you add to this, this was a cross between a lot of STDs, a lot of worldly music, a lot of lust, which opens your mind now to any and everything that Satan wants to stick into it, not just to the person that you're lusting after, but it opens your mind to any and every unlawful thing to bring into your mind, even hatred. It opens your mind to that too. Music and unlawful lust does this. Well, this gives the mixture of cancer-causing brain tumors. Cancer-causing brain tumors to combine and breed and crossbreed until the right one, we got the right one now, that can actually penetrate the brain, and you can pass this on to the other generations, to your children. This is what you do when you commit these sins. Now, Yahweh has let it grow for 6,000 years, a little over 6,000 years now. This lustful situation started with Cain that the world has followed. Now, he's already told you this is what's bringing the hatred and the continual war. This thing that Cain brought forth. When Cain brought forth his children to present them to Yahweh, Yahweh said they're unsuitable, they're unacceptable. I can't accept this group of people like this. And later on, he said, this group of people will never accept my laws. So he destroyed them with a flood. But he saved one person, if you remember, along with his family, a preacher of righteousness. The same thing we're preaching right now, the preacher of righteousness. Well, from that generation now, we have stacked and used our bodies for breeding grounds and crossbreeding. This racehorse, it's very interesting what they went through to get this breed of horses that actually won the Triple Crown, you know, the Great House of Pharaoh. I think this is Satan saying we're going to win. The Great House is going to win, you know, and it couldn't have come at a better time, right? I think it was chosen by Satan, and I think I was chosen to bring out before that we're going to win this race. I said it before they said it at the Downs, where you bet your money on them. Well, of course, in breeding, I've told you about breeding. I could breed a dog that would bark at the moon every time the moon was a full moon. You can breed dogs to do this. You can breed horses to run real fast. You can do this, and it takes a lot of effort to put into this, you know, and you have to really guard the system. Guard and keep the system going in order to get this top horse. Most people will go a ways with it, but they won't go all the way like these people did. Well, of course, now they're going to sell. What are they selling? They're not selling the stud horse. You don't bring your mares there to him. They're going to sell the seed of that the sperm of that horse for billions of dollars. This is this one horse. And of course, the vet will withdraw the sperm, they'll freeze it, and they'll send just the right amount to anyone who's got the money because they want this breed. This is what we're doing with our people, except we're breeding them for evil. The world has been breeding them now for 6,000 years to do evil. Not to do righteousness, but to follow the gods. You can train them, and you can, with this training, as it showed you in this music and the lust, it can actually change your DNA. Your DNA is what brings forth big muscles and stupidity, like Hitler brought to his army. You know, we're still suffering from what Hitler, from his great breed of people and the diseases that it caused. Diseases that they tried to find a cure for by giving it to what they call Jews in their concentration camps, giving it to them, and then of course it spread throughout the world, and people still are using it, putting it in their test tubes, making serums out of it, things like this, and in each way it builds up a little more in the body each time. And what we've done now, we've got a cesspool, bodies, laboratories, made into laboratories, that's breeding and putting into every child brain tumors. But not only that, you know, I think there's 115,000 cases, new cases a year that we're bred. These horses, they're turning them out pretty fast too, but not half as fast as we're turning evil out in the children that's being raised in the world right now. And that's what you see on today's news. That's the hatred, the road rages. That's the fighting you saw in a Walmart store by two women and a young child, and the people standing there telling the boy this is not right. Nobody did anything to stop it. They're laughing about it. And of course, people get killed too. Is it not what? Not long ago, you saw people shooting through a restaurant in Abilene through the windows, and they're doing that in homes and apartments, and of course taking their rage out on by shooting through windows, hoping they will kill somebody. This is the kind of minds that we have bred, and of course it's not you know hidden from the politicians, as you can see, from the death of the president's son, vice president's son, you know, and of course the vice president had it before he, did. And of course, it wasn't as bad, but it keeps getting better with each worse. It keeps getting worse with each generation. And Yahshua said in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22 now, this generation is going to be the worst ever, to where that even we would be killed ourselves, we would die from this ourselves, if Yahweh didn't cut it short. We're going to live and see it. We're going to testify to it. But He is going to save us. This is a protected place, and He is going to save us. Please, don't go do things like this and bring it back into the house of Yahweh. Don't let your children learn these things. Fight with all your might to keep this out of your house. This will destroy your children's brains. It will keep them from really catching hold and obtaining the kingdom like Yahshua did. He that overcomes, He adds a little bit more to this, as I did, as Yahshua did. How did He overcome? He resisted it. You never once saw Him turn to sin in any way. He was tempted in all points, like as we, but He had His mind made up in advance that He was not going to do it. He had His mind made up that this is not the only life that I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for a future kingdom. And brother, it's going to be here really, really soon. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.